This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Phoebe Judge. After months of controversy and arguments, the UNC Board of Governors voted Friday to close three academic centers on university campuses. The centers are the Center on Poverty, Work, and Opportunity at UNC Chapel Hill, the Center for Biodiversity at East Carolina, and the Institute for Civic Engagement and Social Change at NC Central. Opponents of the decision call it politically motivated censorship and showed up to voice their displeasure. Board of Governors leadership denied that politics played a role. The protest did slow down the vote, but had no effect on the board's ultimate decision. WUNC reporter Dave DeWitt was at Friday's meeting and joins us to talk about the controversial decision. Welcome, Dave.
Hi, Phoebe.
So can you tell us about these centers? What do they do and who will be affected by their closing?
You know, these centers, there are about 250 of them when this review started. And a couple of the campuses, you know, looked at their own centers and thought, they could probably close these. So eight of them, they closed on their own. Then this review took a look at all the rest of them. And they range from the UNC Lineberger Cancer Center, which is a major, one of the best cancer research centers in the country, to on the same campus, the Botanical Garden. So they range dramatically across all academic departments. They're usually interdepartmental. It's a chance for faculty at different disciplines to get together and look at problems or issues from a different perspective. Some of them get a lot of money from the state. Some of them get absolutely no money from the state. So it was interesting to see and hear from this committee members how they went through this process and learned a lot about centers and institutes, because unless you are working at one of these centers and institutes or on an academic campus, you really don't know what they do. And there are a lot of people who still aren't sure what different ones do, but they're all structured differently.
And on Friday, the board voted unanimously to close three academic centers. Can you tell us what led to the closings?
Sure. I think it's good to go back and look at how this committee went through its process. They had meetings over 5 months. They were first told by the legislature to look at maybe saving $15 million and looking at these centers. So then they went into it with that idea. They quickly realized that saving money probably wasn't going to happen, because a lot of these centers, I mentioned the UNC Lineberger Cancer Center, they get about, I think, $1.6 million from the state and bring in $72 million in outside grants. And so just as a return on investment, many of these centers do extremely well getting grants from private organizations or the federal government back for every dollar that's spent. Sometimes they do 10 or 20 more bringing in from the outside. So they looked at that and thought, okay, well, we're not probably going to save a ton of money by no matter how many centers we end up closing. They learned through the process that a lot of these centers are very valuable places and do a lot of good. And so they kind of changed their direction a little bit, began to look at, okay, are these centers valuable in and of themselves as academic exercises? Are they structured correctly? And then when they eventually got through that whole process, they got to the end and found that 13 centers need to undergo more continuous, rigorous review on their campuses. And then there were three that they suggested and then eventually mandated to get closed. And it's the three you mentioned. Those three, eventually what you heard from Jim Holmes, who ran that committee, was that those centers didn't need to exist as centers. Basically, he was saying that they weren't addressing the issues that they were slated to address in an effective way.
And as you mentioned, it did come out that closing these centers would not save a lot of money. The three centers that they chose to close will save something like $6,000?
$6,000 for the three centers. And the Center on Poverty, which is the one that's getting the most attention, gets no direct state funding. They get $120,000 from outside funding that they then had to give back. And afterwards, Gene Nickel, who runs the center or ran the center now, who's a tenured faculty member at UNC Law School, he is going to go out and be able to probably raise a lot more money to address poverty in a different way, probably outside of a center. So in reality, closing the center will have little impact on that center in particular, because $120,000 they paid for people to come in and speaker series. They paid for conferences. They probably had some postgraduates or some law students working there on a part-time basis. So really, nobody will lose a job over it, and they won't save any money at all. So they went through the entire process and really didn't save any money.
As you mentioned, some of these closures have led to a lot of controversy that we saw on Friday at the meeting. Can you tell us who opposed and who is opposing the closings?
Well, in person, you saw about three dozen students and some retired faculty members who were there. And it's interesting, you know, usually these Board of Governors meetings are in Chapel Hill in a fairly small environment where it can only have certain numbers of people. So a lot of those students have to end up being outside, which for security purposes, if you are a Board of Governor, is probably a pretty good situation because they can't be as verbal and outward as they were. This past meeting on Friday was at UNC Charlotte in a much bigger room. So they were able to be in the room, the student protesters, that is. They got up in the middle of the discussion as it began about these centers and very loudly protested, as we heard. They continue to protest once they've shut down that part of the meeting and moved it into another room and only allowed certain people in and did a video audio feed to a bigger room because it's a public meeting. And there's some controversy whether it was qualified as a public meeting. But then these folks, these students, very verbal, were very effective in getting their attitude across, not just about this issue on the centers, but there were many of them who were upset about the tuition raises, which were also voted in.
And we're not just hearing from students opposing this. There are people that are high up in the administration who are also speaking out against the closures.
Absolutely. And Tom Ross, university system president, outgoing, we should say, the previous Board of Governors meeting, it was announced that he'd be leaving. He spoke out against it, not verbally as much, but he made it known that he was against it. And then UNC Chancellor Carol Folt had this to say.
I was deeply disappointed. You heard I disagreed with the closing of the Poverty Center, but I also feel very strongly that we'll continue that work and intensify it. So I was urging the board to do everything they can to make real that pledge, too.
And she's talking about coming back with the Poverty Center, maybe not addressing Poverty Center through the Poverty Center, but addressing poverty in general in a different way. And a lot of people want Carol Folt to be a little more assertive and aggressive and maybe say, well, let's not close the Poverty Center, stand up and fight this. It appears the Board of Governors has every legal right to do this. They haven't done this, gone onto campuses and changed these kinds of specific things that chancellors have put into place. So it is out of the norm. The folks who are on this committee and on the Board of Governors say they don't want to do this anymore, whether with centers or other ways that they challenge the chancellors. But there is some call for her to do more, but it seems that the university is going to go along with it and try to reconstitute some other resources around addressing poverty.
We mentioned this a little bit earlier, but one of the major players throughout this whole ordeal has been UNC Professor Gene Nickel, who was running the UNC Poverty Center. Many believe that he was targeted because of the political advocacy as the director of the UNC Poverty Center, and also his outspoken criticism against the administration and some of the decisions. What's next for Gene Nickel? You said this actually might be good for him.
Well, good for him in his way of thinking and the things that he wants to pursue. He's been very verbal, not only in writing in the op-eds in the News and Observer, but in other ways. But, you know, Gene Nickel was a well-known person to a lot of folks before this ever happened, who were sort of, you know, for lack of a better term, sort of inside the Beltline, as Raleigh is. You know, people who know politics know who Gene Nickel is. He used to be the dean of the law school, went off to be the president of the College of William & Mary, came back into this position. He's a tenured faculty member in the law school. He doesn't get paid through the center that got closed. And as you've talked to the board members, you got a sense that they didn't quite understand the beginning how centers worked and how people got paid. So you got the idea that perhaps they thought if they got rid of these centers, they could get rid of certain personnel. This was certainly the thought on the folks who believed that these were politically motivated activities. But Gene Nickel is paid through the UNC Law School. He's not paid through the Poverty Center. So his profile through this has really risen. A lot more people know who he is. A lot more people know what he stands for. He's an effective communicator in many ways, and it's hard to believe he's going to go away because of this. It's more likely, as he said, he's going to be more active, more verbal about these issues. So if it was politically motivated, it was not very well done because he's now a much more powerful political foe.
And we should say that one can actually make that argument, Gene Nickel, because the Board of Governors is overwhelmingly Republican represented.
Right. And for many, many, many years, it was overwhelmingly Democrat. And then with the major surge in the legislature, the leaders in the legislature appoint the Board of Governors members. So they've got all new Board of Governors members who are Republican donors mostly and are lawyers or businessmen and have come into this without a tremendous understanding of how higher education works.
And the board also voted, which is getting lost in this all, it seems, to increase tuition at several campuses. What can you tell us about the decision?
Well, and that's a decision that will have a much greater impact on people's lives than the closing of three small centers. And so what they've decided, and this was a lot of debate among the Republican Board of Governors members, because a lot of them did not want to raise tuition, but a lot of them trust the chancellors who have come to the Board of Governors and said they want to do this, raise it a little bit. It's 4.3% for in-state students this year, 3.7% for next year. It should be noted that, you know, it does increase the tuition, but the in-state tuition for UNC System schools is still much, much lower than it is at other schools around the country. So there's a lot of support that the legislature still has for higher education in this state. But for people, many students who are first generation, it's a dramatic impact for them. They have to pay their own way to college. It's really difficult when you raise tuition every 2 years.
Well, thank you very much for speaking to us about it all.
My pleasure.
Dave DeWitt is a reporter for WUNC. You can find more information about the Board of Governors' decision at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, Ambassador Thomas Pickering on his decades of foreign service. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.